Shivani, and now Mike Ullman of Dunhaven. I may add about his that he is now in charge of keeping the members of the government out of jail, and the brilliance of his intellect is attested to by the fact that he is so far succeeded.
But maybe said that the scorecard so far is that only two members of the cabinet have been cited for contempt in the House of Representatives. There are still six or seven more to go.
Oh, I
am something of an optimist. Okay. Someone remarked earlier that even at the best argument for penal reform he had heard in years. I should perhaps begin by perhaps the resident Straussian in the audience is taking a cue from my brother Evan about the need and desirability of close textual exegesis. I must correct my brother Evan. He quoted from Heraclitus that would be pre-Socratic. The famous Heraclitian text that one cannot step in the same stream twice. Actually, if one examines the fragments of the Heraclitian text closely, he will find that the word stream lends itself to a variety of definitions. In fact, the literal Greek word is menurion. And having heard Professor Peary and my brother Boggs this evening, they have demonstrated that it is indeed possible to step in the same menurion twice. When our esteemed secretary rang me up a few weeks ago to entice me onto this panel by wile and craft and wicked persuasion, he did everything but tell me tough. He told me that Ernest Radenhag would be the moderator, that Reverend Dr. Evans would be my colleague, Dr. Peary and Dr. Boggs would be my opponents. It was not until after I had signed on that he told me what the topic would be. The topic stands in the worthy tradition of Philadelphia Society topics. I recall some from past years. Those of you here may not have been associated with this worthy institution as long as I, but I can recall some years back recognizing that the Society was noted for nothing, if not its attempt to grapple with the universe whole. You may recall the first national meeting of the Society, in which the relevant topic was the rule of law from Justinian to Malcolm X. In the second year, the theme of the panel was whether public ownership of the streets was the first step on the road to the establishment of an American gulag. That was followed in the third year by perhaps the most favorite golden oldie, Let Them Eat Oysters, an examination of welfareism in the 60s. And of more recent vintage, of course, there was the famous panel on what Eugene von Bovaert and Karl Menger would have said about Ed Muskie's budgetary committee in the Senate. The topics for this weekend, I think, are standard of that worthy tradition. In addition to this evening, tomorrow we will hear addresses on the State of the Union, the struggle for the world, in contrast to the universe, of course. Philosophy and religion today, and last but not least, will capitalism survive? On to the topic. When I first encountered the phrase, immunization of the eschaton, I, of course, had no idea what it meant. A roommate of mine had the strong feeling he wasn't sure that it was a bond proposal to repave the Grand Concourse, and for that reason, he was opposed to it. I've been opposed to it ever since. I didn't know then and do not know now exactly what it means, but our estimable secretary, who assisted this evening, sent us some dictionary excerpts. On the subject, and one related excerpt he sent was the dictionary excerpt on Gnosticism, which is defined as following, which I think would be helpful as we proceed. A syncretistic philosophical-religious movement which in pre-Christian times had fused into one system such widely divergent elements as Babylonian astral mythology, Kabbalistic Judaism, Persian dualism, and Greek philosophy. Of course, I think we can see from that where we are. Immediately, I reminded The same thing of Richard Weaver's definition of conservatism some years ago, you may recall, he defined it as a paradigm of essences toward which the world was in a state of more or less continuing approximation, with which, of course, we all agree. But with deference to my brother Evans, I must say that things aren't quite so simple as they once were. There was a time in which the world was divided into two readily identifiable camps. There were the Gnostics, or as they say in Indianapolis, Gnostics. And on the other side, there were the anti-Gnostics, referred to in Indianapolis as the Know-Nothing. But I'm afraid in these latter days, things have quite become unhinged. It's no longer so easy to say what exactly is being eminentized or who is the eminentizer. We have women's lib, sexual lib, gay lib, children's lib, and God knows what else all. There are more damned eminentizers running around these days than one can count. Scratch a hot dog salesman, you'll find an eminentizer. But it must be said, on the other side, the problem is not so simple either. There are too damn many eschatons to be eminentized. Imagine, if you will, the plight of being a student in Berkeley during the late unpleasantness. One got up in the morning and one didn't know whether to go to the Free Angela Davis rally, the Burns Sproul Hall rally, the vegetarian dinner, or the gay lib dance. A continuation of this phenomenon over a period of time produces a peculiar sort of psychosis of which we've had abundant evidence here this evening. Now, on a theoretical level, imagine trying to fill out the rest of your days, trying to figure out whether history ended last night or whether it begins tomorrow morning. And that is roughly the plight that the eminentizers are faced with these days. In short, there are too damn many eminentizers and too damn many eschatons to keep track of these days, from which I conclude that a world in which everything is eminentized and everything is, as it were, eschatized is a world in which one may begin again, a world in which two and two once again make four. Thank you. Thank you.